Hey again, welcome to our next story as part of the Every Woman Story podcast, where we believe that everyone has an invitation to sit at Jesus' table. And we hope that you'll find your story and your purpose in God's story. And we do this as we listen to individuals, many of whom have contributed to the Every Woman's Bible, who are diving into God's story and connecting it with how it has informed and guided and even inspired their own. So today we have a cool guest, and she is a contributor to Every Woman's Bible. So first of all, hi, Belen. How are you doing today?
Hi Naomi, I'm doing very well, thank you. Very happy to be here today.
Yeah, me too. Now, Belen and I have actually interacted together for a couple years. And believe it or not, this is the first time we've seen each other's faces. So I love that. And I want to read you all a little bio of Belen. She, as I mentioned, is a contributor to Every Woman's Bible. So let's learn about Belen. She is a mobilizer with Operation Mobilization. And since 2002, she has been mobilizing mission-minded Latinos to take their passion and profession to places where Christ is unknown. Wow. That sounds like a good idea.
It is. It's a very good idea.
It is a very good idea because, yeah, I know Jesus is the meaning and center of my life. So, yay for other people getting to know Jesus. Well, Lynn, we're going to start in the way that we do, which is to hear what we call your spark story, a story that kind of epitomizes you. So, I'd love to hear it.
Well, I was thinking, and it was so hard to find one. But then, I just remembered that when I was very young, I was like 4 years old. I was very close to my older brother. He's 3 years older than me, and he was always like in trouble. Like he was a naughty kid, kind of crazy, and I was a good one, peaceful, obedient. And we used to go to places together. We used to play a lot. And so we went to a playground and he's playing with this older kid and I'm there looking, playing, I guess. And they start fighting and this guy just jumped over my brother, threw him on the ground and start hitting him.
Oh my
And
goodness.
I was like, what is going on? So my reaction was like to run, jump over him. I beat his face and my
Whoa.
mom had to take me away from him. And that was the end of a fight. And me, the good kid, but then I think that is it was God created me to care for people deeply, to care and just fight injustices, I guess. Of course, we need to be redeemed. I wasn't redeemed. I'm not biting people. I'm not fighting, but I think that that was my that's part of who God created in me, just to care deeply and to help. That's the other thing. Like I like helping. That's if I see a situation, it's hard not to help.
I bet that surprised you. How did you feel when you're like, oh my goodness, what did I just do? Or what am I doing in the midst of protecting your brother?
Well, I'm super nice to people. I never got into fights in my entire life, but as a kid, you can see that there is something in you that God put there that needs to be redeemed, but it's a good thing if you if it is redeemed by the Lord.
Yeah, I bet he was glad for it at that
He was
moment.
happy. Yeah, we still laugh about that because he was the naughty and it was the good one. But when the time came, I just, I protected him. I defended him.
Wow. Yeah, there's a story from my childhood that I can relate to in that. So, yeah, where I'm like, did I really do that? And yet, in some ways, it does. It is a seed of what I am today. So that makes sense. Yeah. And I think for the people who are watching and listening, I wonder what your stories are, where you think back and you go, wow, that felt really strong, whatever happened there. And I wonder how God is using that. Or maybe if I've hidden that, I wonder how God could use that in my life today. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to turn the page to a super fun day and just hearing you kind of paint the verbal picture for us of what Belen Peters is doing on like an amazing day. And so I'll start with who are you with, actually. I think that kind of does matter.
Good, good. That question just made me happy. I'm with my husband. Yeah, my best friend on a date alone. We have little ones, so it's hard to find time to be alone. There's always little people around us, and it's amazing, but it's nice to have some time alone with him. So yeah, I'm with him. And what was the next question?
Well, so you're with Jeff, and by the way, I know your husband, Jeff. Belin's husband and I used to work together, and that is how I heard about Belin, because he is very proud of his wife, and he posts a lot of things about the incredible work she does. And so when I was privileged to edit the Every Woman's Bible, I reached out, I think, to Jeff, because I didn't know how to contact you, and said, "Hey, can you introduce me to that lady you married?"
True.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. So you're with your husband, and there are no little kids with you at this moment. And what are you wearing?
Oh, I love summer, so I'm wearing a colorful summer dress, nice hat, sunglasses, comfortable but cute shoes, sandals, and a purse.
Okay. And what are y'all doing as you are like, I love the outfit, first of all. I'd like to know where to order it. But I've never quite known how to, I grew up in an era where literally they didn't let us wear dresses, believe it or not. And so I've never, I mean, excuse me, they didn't let us wear pants opposite. And so I kind of developed a grudge against dresses because I'm like, I don't want to have to wear a dress every day to school. I want to climb and play. So thereby, I am probably 2 decades behind in knowing where to find cute sundresses. So, all right. An aside, but that sounds fun. All right. So, what are you all doing then?
We are walking along the beach. Walking and trying to find a restaurant to have dinner. Yeah, to have dinner. It's like 5 p.m. at night. Just talking and enjoying the breeze.
That
Simple
sounds
but
really
perfect.
nice. Now, Belin, I know that I'm curious what country you're in. Are you in the nation where you were born, or are you in the nation where you live now
Oh,
on
I'm
your
in the
journey?
nation that I live. I'm in the US, yeah. But I
Okay.
was born and raised and lived most of my life in Chile. So
Okay.
we have it's a very long country, and you have the mountains on one side, which are amazing, and then you have the beach. So you can actually go from the mountains to the beach in 3.5 hours. That's
Wow.
a lot of
Yes.
information, but it's very thin. So we
Yeah.
don't have east or west. We just have north, central, and south.
Wow. So you're not at a beach in Chile. You're in a beach somewhere in the United States, it sounds like, in your dream.
Warmer,
Yes.
warmer weather, maybe Florida.
Okay. Yeah. We have some cold beaches. It's really true. I've not been to New England in the summer, but I see pe people sending me pictures of New England beaches, and I'm like, in the winter, and I'm like, brr.
We actually went to the beach in Northern California last summer, and it was so cold. It's like Chile.
Wow. So
Same
foggy.
coast. Beautiful though, beautiful.
So, folks, if any of you are from these beaches and you have reasons to let us know why cold beaches are beautiful, we would love to hear about that. Yeah, you can let us know in the comments below, and we will like learn from you. So thanks. Well, now, when you chose this day, what led you to choose it? Like, what was the essence of it? How does it make you feel? Yeah, how does it relate to you, Belin, the day you chose?
Just this day, because for me, quality time is very important. It's one of my love languages. And also, just I love the energy that there is at the beach. I love seeing water. Like, God's creation gives me peace and joy, and I can see his beauty. And of course, sharing it with my best friend, it's so much fun. He's a li he's Of course, I have to say this now, but it's true. He's just so, he's a lot of fun to be around. He's funny, he's smart, he's caring. So, yeah, I got married later in life, but it was so worth it to wait, you know, for a person like that.
So how did you know he was the one?
That's a good question. It's a long story. I just, you know, like, I when I met him, we connected in so many levels. We loved the Lord, and I said I got married later in life, and all the people I met before, they were like, "Oh, you're leading, you're a woman and leading, and you're too committed to the mission," and they got scared. And then Jeff met me, and he was like, "That's so cool. Tell me more." And we started talking and talking, and I was in Chile, and he was back in the U.S., and we met in Korea, so. I feel that he really saw me for what I was, you know, not like a leader and taking teams and preaching, or he just saw this person, this woman that loved the Lord, and he loved what I did as well. So, and he didn't feel like scared or threatened, or it was cool for him. So, and I had a community around me that prayed with me during the process, and I just got confirmation after confirmation.
That's so important. Yeah, and I know this may sound off topic, but I know so many women feel like they don't have that type of community around them as they're trying to navigate life. What would you say to someone who's like, I'd like to have a community like that? But I don't know how to find one. What would you say to her?
Well, I can see that I can separate my life into two seasons. I was living in a community, in a Christian community, like Y1 base. So you had community there, but then I moved to the US. And I didn't know anyone, just my husband. So, and I remember our pastor was preaching at church, and he said, if you want a community, just be intentional. You know, you cannot just expect people to come, because in Chile, you go to church and people would come and say hi, and you can start friendships after a Sunday service. Here, after a Sunday service, everyone leaves. And I'm like, I didn't even talk to anyone. So we open up our home for small groups, for meal groups, we call. And then I started making friends, and then I joined a discipleship. But it takes intentionality. So if people are finding themselves alone, we need to make an effort, especially in this culture. And I'm not saying that it's bad or it's good. It's just different, you know. And as busy moms and people at work, in my case, I really need to be intentional and make space. Otherwise, I'm not gonna find community.
Yeah, that's really a good word of, kind of commit to something. I know for me, I can get spread out so far that it feels hard to invest anywhere. And so it sounds
Yes.
like you chose and said, we are going to host a small group, even if we have little kids, and probably that means your house wasn't ideal.
Yes. Yeah.
But just to say, we're going to invest in people.
Yes.
I really love that. Well, okay, we'll get back to your story, but thank you for sharing that because
Course.
I know a whole lot of women feel like they don't really have even one friend that they can really confide in deeply. So, and that makes it so hard to
Yes.
live with God and, community with others. And so, yeah. So that kind of then brings us to another story I'd love to hear about, which is what I call your believe, belong, become story. And this is that pattern, believe, belong, become, is something that's in the center of the Every Woman's Bible. There's like a 16-page experience called What Is My Purpose? And looking at how the Bible helps us discover our story and our purpose in God's story. So I'd love to hear kind of the phases, like even starting with believe. How did you come to faith in God and to think that He had a purpose for you?
Yeah, it's been a long journey, and yeah, as I said, a long lot of details, so I don't want to expand that much, but my mom was always looking for faith, like, so we started in the Catholic Church, like I guess with like all Latinos, and then the Mormons came, so we went to that church, and then some missionaries came to Chile from Australia, and we went there, and I was 8, and that's what marked my heart, my life, because I accepted Jesus at 8. So we started following Jesus, but I guess I didn't really understand what I was doing. I just knew that he was amazing and I loved him, but my Christian life was around like going to church on Sundays and afterlife, like eternal life. But I didn't know how to apply God's truth or have a deep relationship with him. So at 19, I come from a very broken family. So at 19, I was kind of done with life. I didn't feel like fighting anymore. And I got a flyer about this DTS in Santiago. I'm from the south of Chile, so and I was so depressed, but I felt that I needed to go there. And it was so weird. I didn't have the funds. So I was like, I'm going. And people were like, maybe that's like human trafficking. You don't know YWAM. You don't know these people. And I was like, but and then I met the director. He went to a church to preach, and I was like, I'm gonna go there. I need to go there. And then God used several people to tell me to leave. And they didn't know what they were talking about because they didn't know what was happening in my heart. I was very private. I wasn't taught how to show my emotions or to deal with them. I was just suppressing them. That's why I was so depressed. But So then I moved to Santiago and I did this training, and I just, I knew God a little bit, but then I just encountered Jesus. And I started having experiences, and we studied the Bible, and I saw God's character and His truth. And my life was very colorless. Everything was gray, and I started seeing colors and beauty and meaning and purpose. And I found out that I was loved and cleaned. And then I was like, wow, this is the gospel about, like, this is life. So I felt that I was born again. In a way, but I was already a believer, so it's kind of like, and then I was like, okay, I need to share this. This is the most important thing that I have in my life, so I'm gonna commit to this. There is nothing else more important. So I wanted to do that with other people as well.
Which kind of brings us, well, first of all, was that you'd mentioned earlier YWAM, which for those who are viewing and watching, listening, and whatever you're doing, that stands for Youth with a Mission.
Yes.
And they do these, what's called discipleship training schools all
Yes.
over the world. Was that what that was that you went to,
Yes. Yes.
Santiago?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Which are kind of like intensives. I mean, yeah.
5, 6 months that you are in, like, in a kind of like cohort, environment. So we're like, I don't know, 13, 14 people from different countries. All of us were very broken. Most of us, I would say. So it's an amazing experience to just leave that with in a community again with other people,
Yeah, so that was when we looked at kind of this pattern, which is what led to this, what is my purpose section in the center of the Bible. It was based on a whole bunch of people's learning about how does God kind of move people into not only life with God, but life with others, and then their unique purpose, which is a very biblical thought, by the way. I know people think, well, it's just self-centered. Well, actually, Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 is the first verse. I mean, that was only waited 5 verses to get to, what are we here for? And God says the first word that's said is to reign, which is crazy. I mean, it's like a royal word, but this idea of steward, reign, own what God has given us to make beautiful and to make just and loving. So you talked about believe, at 8, and then again this sense of I need to go there and then belong, where you're like, okay, this is maybe my community for you. And your article talks about this. For you, it wasn't your family of origin, where that sense of I can connect with others who love God and are wanting to love other people and find my mission in life, and my part in God's mission. And then this final stage is called become. And usually that's marked by somebody sensing from God this, like, I want you to go do this thing. And so I'm curious. Already it was a big thing to go to Santiago.
Yes.
When you were all done with this discipleship training school and this 5 or 6 month experience, what have been the steps, or maybe a step since then, where you knew God's saying, Belen, I want you to do this?
Well, I just felt that I needed to share what it was very simple, just share and invest in others. Like people invested in me, I needed to do that. That became as a responsibility and like and being faithful to what was given to me. You know, the Bible says that we are given by grace, so we should give by the grace. And I was like, okay, I need to invest in others. So I decided to stay in the organization. And I stayed for 14 years. It was a long time. I invested, I guess we ran like trainings for people that wanted to go and preach the gospel or add value to societies where Christ was not known. So we did that. We mobilized in churches or are mobilized in churches. We coach and help a lot of believers to just step into the life that God has had for them, even though maybe some of them didn't go, but it was like, okay, but no one is called to go, but everyone is called to be in God's mission, you know, or be part of his kingdom. There is no unemployment in God's kingdom. Everyone has a role to play. And then I took teams, a lot of teams to a lot of countries, specifically Southeast Asia and Eastern Europe. So people could go and see the need and experience life there. So I took the decision to made the decision to stay, and I did it for 14 years until I met Jeff.
So that's why you were in Southeast Asia. You were in Korea when you met
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, wow, so fascinating. I want to know more, but I'm going to pause on that. I'm like, so that was another step of faith
Yes.
to, what we already talked about, your prayer community that came alongside you. Again, this belong, you had a prayer community that helped you ascertain, is this right for me to marry this guy? And he's not even from the same culture that I'm from, different background. Did that feel hard or did that feel easy to take that step of faith to get married?
Well, I always wanted a family. I didn't know what a family was because my example was terrible. But I met him and he was so different. And I wanted someone for my organization, to be honest. I wanted a white woman. And he was so far from that. He's actually he comes from the Anglican background. So it's very different than my upbringing. So yeah, there were, oh my gosh, every question of yours is like it opens like a new topic. But yeah, he had baggage. He was divorced, and I was never married, never had kids, you know. So it was a difficult situation because of that. And then I was leading. I was one of the base directors. I had a lot of responsibility over my shoulders. I loved what I was doing. I loved Chile. I never wanted to. I came to the US before, like, I think 2 years before meeting him to study. And I loved it. But it was like, yeah, it's a beautiful country. But it's not my mission field. It's not like I'm not going to go to the US. But, you know, like, one of the things that God told me about Jeff is one day I was mo Monday morning praying. I was like, God, I'm not sure like about this guy. And God told me, I'm gonna give you what you need, not what you want. And then people pray for me and they started giving me words. Like it was crazy. Like someone said, like, don't be afraid, God is with you, he's gonna bless you in your emotional area. Someone is gonna come, you're a team member that is not gonna leave, because you know, I used to have teams. And people were going to go to Africa, and my friends were always leaving. So it was just crazy how God confirmed, and everyone loved him. So, yeah.
Well, and that It makes me think about how God can take the stories of our families where we started and make them better, make a better story. They talk about generational
Yes.
patterns in families.
Oh,
I
yeah.
know I can see it in my family, up 4 generations of the women in my family. I can see similarities of life experiences and challenges. And that God, I'm not going to say he erased your childhood because he wouldn't want to do that. He's there and he uses all for good for you,
Yes.
but gave you the courage and the people around you to start in a different direction than
A
you might
hundred
otherwise have
percent.
gone.
100%. I think that all this, as you say, I would say generational curses, because they are not blessings. I was not under like a blessed family, and God just gave me the chance to choose. What do you want? You know, I think there is a book, and I cannot pronounce it in English. Deuteronomy. It's just to Deuteronomy, maybe, that says like, here you have like two options. You have blessings, or you have like, this is gonna curse you. It's not that the Lord wants it, but it's also our decision to make, you know. And I see His blessing. And me and Jeff, sometimes we look at our kids and we just thank the Lord. Like, we don't take it for granted. It's not what we had, and God gave us the opportunity to do it now correctly, but with Him as the center of our family.
Wow. What an incredible story. Thank you for that. And we're going to actually turn to your article that you wrote for the Every Woman's Story community. And that's also available for those who are listening and watching. You can have Billen read it to you. And you can also get it to read yourself. But in this article, you do talk about kind of a critical moment when you were away from home. And the question of what is home? What is your father's house, so to speak? And having to decide what to do when there were pulls from your family of origin and callings from God directly, and that he was providing the door open, for you to walk through. That's a really hard dynamic, not only one time in life, but I know I can feel that. I can be like, I'm on a phone call with all my brothers at five, and all of a sudden I'm the little sister again, right? And I can be like that again. Tell us how God's word helps you navigate that.
Well, after the training ended, we were invited to stay, but before leaving, my stepfather always supported us when he left us, and they got divorced, and then he got sick, and we didn't know what was happening. So, and my mom always she was always a housewife, taking care of the house and the kids. And I started working after high school because I thought I wanted to go to school, and all my friends were in school, but I had to support my family instead. So I was working a 6 day six 6 days a week.
Wow.
I couldn't work on I couldn't go to church anymore because I was working weekends. So that's why I got so depressed, and I was supporting my mom. And I, parenthesis, like every time I found people from the church, they were mad at me because I wasn't attending, but they didn't know that I was supporting my. So that's why I was like, okay, God is not enough. You know, that took me to a very dark place, because if the people from the church that supposed to reflect God are judging me because I don't go to church, but how could I go to church if I have to support my family financially, buy food, pay bills at 18? I was 18. So when I left, my mom wasn't happy, and she said like, what are we gonna do? And I really felt that it was a matter of life and death to me. You know, like, it was that urgent that God moved people around to like, and gave me strong conviction that I needed to leave. So I took that training, found Jesus, life again. So I was like, am I gonna go back to that? So I didn't want to go back, but I loved, especially my younger sisters. I was like, they, and my youngest was like my We're 15 years apart. So she was like my baby. And I was
Aww.
like, okay, I need to go back. Like, and praying. And I, the article that I wrote talks about an invitation from the Lord into being his wife, his daughter, being a princess and clothing. And it says literally, like, forget your father's house. And I was like, okay, God, you're asking me this, but I need to go and help. I don't want to go back to that because it meant I wasn't completely healed. I was healing. And I think that the healing process takes a lifetime sometimes in some areas. So I was like, I'm gonna go back there. And then I just heard the Lord saying this. And I understood that I needed to stay and I needed to trust him that he was gonna provide for my moms, especially my little sisters. That was my, you know, it was my heart. I couldn't see them in like not having food or what they needed, although my salary wasn't very high. It was for basics things. And yeah, and you know, like I made that decision and suddenly my stepfather starts sending money again. My mom finds that kind of job. They were fine. I just needed to step on faith and to trust that God, when we put his kingdom and what he's telling us to do first, he provides the rest because it's not for us to care. He's our father. He cares. He provides. He's all powerful. So I don't know if I'm responding to your question or
Yeah, you're telling me about your life, Ellen. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you. Yeah, it's right. I've been really meditating on Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which sounds like what you were also bringing up of seek first, God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And all these things that come earlier in the chapter that Jesus is talking about are, having enough money, clothes, food, and I know I have lived, particularly when I'm leading, because I've been privileged to lead a couple of organizations. I have often led from a place of, well, we're going to depend on Jesus. And that's what I pray and that's what I say. And then in my day-to-day life, it's like, and we got to do this strategic plan and we got to go make sure we meet with all these donors and, not like seek, I mean, it's not like I shouldn't do those things. But that seek first God's kingdom, God's family, knowing that I belong with Jesus and God's righteousness. It's so subtle because on the outside, it looks like I'm doing the same stuff, right? But it's so subtle to know, am I really finding what I need in God, or am I finding it partially or even a lot through my own efforts? Your story reminded me of that. And also that order that God loves. I don't know why. And someday in the new heaven and the new earth, I will be eager to find out. But God does love this order where we have to decide first in faith. And then God does all the stuff. You know what I mean? So, Blynn, you clearly found wisdom in God's word when you had to make that big decision about your family and being in your father's house and his daughter, and even Bible describes us as reigning, and being God's heirs and heiresses, so royal, princess, whatever. You've chosen a verse that we're about to share with our listeners and our viewers. And as we always do, we close by reading a verse over those who are with us. And you chose Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, as one that means a lot to you. Can you tell us what that verse is? And then also how it relates to your story?
I'm gonna read it. It says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruits in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I chose it because it was God's promise to me of the kind of person I was gonna become after being like not loved, not seen, not having purpose in life, becoming like a tree. You know, when you see a tree by a stream of waters, like with its leaves are like green, and you can, if it is hot, you can go and sit next to the tree and just find fresh air and, sorry, you say shade or shadow? It was missed. We have one word in Spanish, so find shade.
Shade, and I'm curious now, what is that word in Spanish? Do you mind?
Sombra, sombra.
Sombra, and it means both shade and
And
shadow.
shadow. So I always confuse
Very cool.
those two
I'm very
ones.
efficient. And it's a
So
beautiful sounding word. Anyway, go on.
you find this sombra, and God told me that I wasn't gonna become that kind of person. And over the years, I'm the middle child, but I have in my family have become like kind of like the leader in a way when we're we have so many situations, with my siblings, we're five, and then my nieces or nephews, they come to me for advice, for prayer, for a word from God. Even my sister, that now she says that she's not a believer, she's like, "Can you pray for me? Can you give me a word?" So they come because of what the Lord has done in my life. Even though my beginning was like very like sad and broken, God has made me a person of faith. I feel that I'm strong in him and I have something to give, which is his love. First of all, his love, caring for people, helping people, because this is God's heart. That's who he created in me. And I feel that I'm, he told me that I wasn't going to be that like tree. And I see that. I see that with my family, with the people that I helped in the past when I was more or less into missions. I walked with so many people. And I mentor people, and now I'm work in my current job. I'm working with college students that wanna explore life in enrich places through their professions, and so I can give what the Lord has given me, and I can be that shade, or refreshment for people, and I love it because I never saw myself like that before.
That is really beautiful. And the word was beautiful too. Sombra, am I saying it right?
Yes, sombra.
Okay. Sombra. I love that. That idea of just both the shadow of God and the shade that God wants to provide. And then he makes us like that too, that
Yes.
we can provide that. Well, we're going to go ahead and read it in three versions. I'll start with New King James Version, what they call the NKJV. And then you're going to read to us in Spanish. And what is the version of the Bible that you'll be reading from?
It's kind of like the King James Version, Reina Valera,
Okay.
RVR 1960.
Okay. So it's the same version, but in a different language. So wonderful. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up on my phone. All right. And if you're viewing or you're listening, we've been hearing a lot about the Lynn story and how she really found and became fruitful in her story by tuning into God's story and to communities that could help her in that. So I want you to just receive these words. And what does this mean for you with your story today? So I'll go ahead and start Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 in the New King James Version. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers.
Será como árbol plantado junto a corrientes de aguas, que da su fruto en su tiempo, y su hoja no cae, y todo lo que hace prosperará.
And then I will finish by reading this in the New Living Translation. And just a moment, I had it all marked. This is how you know we're really in a conversation. There it is. The bookmark was just hiding in the middle of the Bible, in the page, not sticking out. All right, there we go. So, Psalm 1, verse 3 in the New Living Translation. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Amen. Belin, thank you for coming and helping us just hear how you discovered your story and your purpose and the courage to live it out in God's story and with God's people. It's been a joy to get to hear some of your stories. I could be asking you questions for another hour, but I'm gonna let you go. So, is there any final thing you want to say to those who have joined us before we go?
I think that one of the things that has helped me a lot is to pour out my heart into God's presence. So I don't know where you are, I don't know your situation, but just be honest. Because God meet us where we are, not where we think that we are. So just be honest in your walk with the Lord and let him meet you where you are and you go from there. It always gets better with the Lord. There is always new things, new ways, op open doors. He's amazing, and this is such a beautiful life with God, but we gotta start from where we are and being honest with God, and also find people that you can open your heart to, like that helps tremendously. We were meant to live in a community, so I feel that trying to find good friends with leaders at church, or just good friends, start let's take baby steps, but just being honest with the Lord where you are and with mature Christian friends.
Thank you. I love that. We have permission to just be really honest, even if we don't have any idea what's going on in our lives right now or with us or what have you, or people, relationships. What a joy. Well, thanks everybody for joining us on Every Woman's Story podcast, where we have this open invitation that everyone can join Jesus's table. And we want every person to feel like they can discover their story. You can discover your story as you open up the pages of God's story, and ideally doing that in community. So God bless you. Have a great day. And Belen, thanks for being with us.